August 31st, 2019. I've had some time lately to think about how many times I've taken a fall. When I say fall, I mean you are standing upright or walking or even sitting, and the next thing you know, you are on the ground, dazed and embarrassed. I am not a stranger to falls, physically, professionally, and emotionally. I've suffered one fall after another. Winston Churchill said, "Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm." Thank you, Prime Minister Churchill. Failure, falling, is not fatal. Those words from one of the greatest leaders in the 20th century give me hope.
This is Gloria Moraga's One-on-One, a show designed to improve face-to-face communication in the digital age.
This episode is called The Fall. I'm Gloria Moraga. This is a story about communication with family and doctors and nurses when you are at a disadvantage, when you are lying on the ground, flat on your ass, or flat on your back because you've had a fall. I am not a young woman. However, I feel 30 in my mind. My body is another story. I had polio as a child. Now I'm considered a senior with medical complications. I'm not alone. Right now, I'm sitting in a wheelchair in my home office. It's okay. I'm not in a lot of pain. Ah, pain. An old enemy. The things pain can do. It's made many of us drug addicts. We are in crisis as far as drugs are concerned. Pain can plunge you into the depths of depression. It's the pain after the fall that destroys you. Here is the phrase I've heard so much in the last couple of weeks. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your pain level? Boy, am I sick of that phrase. I read an article once about the pain scale, so I know what's going on. It's an easy form of communications. Easier for the doctors and nurses, but not necessarily easier for us, the patients. When I'm in a lot of pain and they ask me that question, I want to scream, "Just give me a frickin' shot. Can't you see my bruised and battered leg? Give me the shot." Instead, I respond, 9 when I'm in pain, and 4 when I'm okay. I've been disabled all of my life, so I have ways of coping with everything related to my disability. I have ways of coping with pain, with doctors, nurses, the medical profession. I have ways of coping with prejudice, with being looked at like you are less than human. Because really, I'm not normal. But I am not an animal! That's from a movie. When you are different, sometimes you are treated like an animal. I also have ways of dealing with family, loved ones, the people who love me. I don't want to be a burden. I lie a lot about my fears and my pain. And guess what? Despite all of that, I am a big burden. The feeling of being a burden has gotten worse as I've gotten older. But what's also happened as I've gotten older is more and more of my peers are growing old, and they are suffering because of injuries, falls, medical problems that put them on my disability level. Whereas I've learned to cope. They are just beginning to learn how to deal with the medical profession and the feeling of hopelessness where their health is concerned. Okay, let's get back to my story. Falls. Here are some sad, unfortunate statistics. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 1 in 4 Americans age 65 plus falls each year. Every 11 seconds, an older adult is treated at the emergency room for a fall. Every 19 minutes, an older adult dies from a fall. Falls are the leading cause of fatal injury and the most common cause of non-fatal trauma related to hospital admissions among older adults. Falls result in more than 2.8 million injuries treated in emergency departments annually, including over 800,000 hospitalizations and more than 27,000 deaths. 2015, the total cost of falls was $50 billion. Medicare and Medicaid shouldered 75% of these costs. Financial toll for older adult falls is expected to increase as the population ages, and it may reach $67.7 billion by 2020. I, Gloria Moraga, have suffered from two falls in the last 2 years. Both times I broke my right femur. The femur is the largest bone in the body. In 2017, I broke the part of the femur that is close to my knee. In August 2019, I broke the femur that is closest to my hip bone. As I write this, and now as I say it, I am overcome with a feeling of despair and helplessness. Those of you who have suffered with depression know what I'm talking about. It feels like a hot, wet blanket is covering my head and body. It's like one of those carnival rides that goes up and down, and you feel like the bottom has dropped out from under your feet. I'm stressed out. I don't want to fall again. I don't want another injury. I hate hospitals, and I hate doctors and physical therapists. And now, after this fall, I really hate occupational therapists. I know they're kind people. They're good people. It's personal. I have personal issues. Here are the details of my latest fall. It was stupid. It usually is. I was making tacos. I needed to reshoot my taco video for my Pinch of Mexican website and YouTube channel. I was at the stove. I was using my crutches to avoid putting undue stress on my knees. I pivoted to turn to the sink away from the stove, putting my full weight on the right crutch. Mistake number one. When I turned, bam, this bitch went down. I hope that doesn't offend anybody, calling myself a bitch. I don't mean anything by it, really. It's from a movie, Scream 2. And I owe myself a little laugh here. And quoting movies is one of my little joys in life. As I was falling, my mind was racing. Try to catch yourself. Don't land on your knee. Fall on your butt. Padding. Don't break anything. I landed hard on my right side, on the tile, on the kitchen floor. In my heart, I knew I had broken something. I was hoping it was a ligament or a tendon. My pain level was at least an 11. I just lay there, glad I had mopped the kitchen floor a couple of days before. Thor, my dog, ran over wanting to play. I cried for a long time. He barked. What I didn't do was call 911. Mistake number two. Instead, I crawled to the family room sofa. The TV was blaring CNN and some presidential nonsense. I moaned. I propped myself against the sofa, and I cried some more. I did not call anybody for help. Instead, I cried some more. I suffered all night with a pain level of 13 to 20. I called my doctor in the morning. When I told them I'd fallen, they said, come in at 1:30 p.m. I had a new doctor. My hospital is a teaching hospital. I get a new doctor every 2 years or so. I hate that. This new guy was young and socially inept. I tried to joke around with him to put him at ease. It didn't work. He ordered x-rays. It was really difficult to get on the x-ray table, but I did it. Pain level 15. We had to wait a long time to get the x-ray results. Then, Dr. Socially Inept came into my little examining room with an older, very annoyed, sourpuss of a female doctor. I usually love women doctors. I just didn't like this woman. We think it's broken, she said. Bottom line, they didn't think I had a fracture. You don't think, I said? And I swear, I didn't mean it the way it sounded. Or did I? They were waiting for the specialists in orthopedics to look at the x-ray. Young, socially inept boy doctor and older woman sourpuss doctor left. I waited a long time, pain level 12, if I didn't move or breathe. Boy doctor returns. You're going to have to get a CT scan, he tells me. The orthopedic specialists are sure my femur is fractured. I knew it was fractured. I wanted to scream. But still, I hoped it wasn't. Now, here comes the first of many communications issues. Dr. Socially Inept tells me, and my daughter, you have to go to the main hospital building to get the CT scan. Really, I say? Do I sound hysterical, I think to myself? We get directions from Dr. Inept. I want to drive, my daughter wants to walk, pushing me in a wheelchair. Pain level 20. We come out of our exam room and the nurse receptionist says, don't leave. I'm trying to make your CT appointment. We wait. In the hallway. We are in the way. Finally, the nurse receptionist says, okay, you're set. Go to room 1125. Okay, do you have a map? Where is that in the main hospital? It's not in the main hospital. It's here in this building. What? The entire 10-minute conversation with Dr. Socially Inept was a waste of time. Ay, ay, ay. Pain level 25. The one CT tech was apparently the twin sister of Dr. Sourpuss. Why the hell was I there wasting her time? She didn't ask that. She looked like she wanted to say that. She did ask, why did they send you here if you already had an x-ray? My response, my pain level is at 10. She shut up and asked me to climb onto the table. I crawled out of the wheelchair and onto the table. I felt like I was climbing Everest without oxygen. It was more than an hour before Dr. Socially showed up. I was on Twitter reading Stephen King's tweets about President T. It's the only thing that cheers me up anymore. It's broken, the doctor announced. Why? I stupidly asked. Please let me see the CAT scan. He fumbled around. He had trouble logging into his computer. Finally, there was the bad news. In black, gray, and dirty white, a tiny crack in my femur near my hip bone. Good news. It was not displaced. Yay! The bone hadn't cracked and moved. It had just cracked. Whoopee! You have to check into the hospital right away. You need surgery. What? Surgery? What about a cast? My upper thigh was black, blue, and red and horribly bruised. And as expected, I had internal bleeding that comes with a bone fracture. We need to put you on blood thinners right away. You could be developing blood clots. You need an IV. I was effed, I thought. Pain level 15. We drive to the hospital emergency room. It's Friday afternoon, and it is a freaking madhouse. The place is heavily guarded. Apparently, there have been large numbers of robberies at the hospital. Drug addicts. So, of course, as we reporters and ex-reporters like to say, security is tight. As we just try to get past the guards, I hear my name being called, and I said to the guard, they're calling my name. He snapped at me, what's your name? Date of birth, last four. My name blasted over the loudspeaker again. That's my name, I shouted. My daughter calmly told him my name, my date of birth, and my last four. Pain level 10. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in the emergency waiting room. It was crowded, dirty, and chaotic. There was a bleeding man lying across a couple of chairs moaning, a woman in a wheelchair in a wired brain apparatus. She was talking quietly to an older man. Children were crying. Another old man was moaning. I felt an overwhelming sadness. They called my name again, the third time in 5 minutes. I rolled over to station one. I'm Gloria, I said. Well, great, the attendant said. We've been calling you. Why didn't you check in? I just wanted to mess with you, I said. My daughter said, we were in the restroom. Name, date of birth, and last four, pain level? 10, I said. My daughter gave them my name. A nurse appeared from the back area. She said, this way, what's your name and date of birth? She cheerfully asked. I told her. How are you, she asked. What's your pain level? I'm blessed, I responded, and a little broken. A broken femur was nothing really compared to some of the people in the waiting room. I spent 12 hours in the emergency room in the back area. My bed was parked between two inmates. On one side, two really, really, really attractive cops talked to their prisoner about music, sports, life in prison, the environment. One of the officers left to get drinks and began complaining about the paper straw. Why do we have to have stupid paper straws? I need a real straw. Someone answered him from down the way, "We have the straws for the environment." And then I yelled out, of course I have to butt in, "Straws kill sea turtles." "What about the syringes from the drug addicts all over the street?" someone else yelled. "Do they kill sea turtles?" "I hate these paper straws," the cop said again. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. "Man up," I said. "Use the paper straws for the sea turtles. Get over it." The convict in the other bed on the other side became agitated. Maybe he doesn't like sea turtles, I thought. He decided he didn't want the IV in his arm anymore. He pulled the needle out of his arm as the nurse was standing next to him and blood splurted out all over her. She said, "You can't do this." His guards were on their feet in a second. I heard chains come out. The convict began speaking in tongues. "I am in hell," I thought. I was finally admitted, but there was no room for me in the inn. I was moved to an old part of the hospital that looks like we could shoot a great horror movie there. It really was creepy. Three young doctors, I'll call them Dr. Moe, Dr. Larry, Dr. Curly, came in a number of times to examine me and talk about my surgery. They are the orthopedic surgical residents. Still, they looked very young. Very young surgical stooges. "I don't want surgery," I announced. "Just put a cast on my leg and let it heal." "Oh no, you need the surgery," said Dr. Moe. "My bone is brittle and prone to crumble," I reasoned. "How are you going to keep three pins in the bone if it's so brittle?" "That's a good point," said Dr. Curley. "I want Dr. Vandernacker to consult," I insist. "She is my post-polio specialist." Dr. Larry said, "The best orthopedic surgeon will be consulting with other experts." "Dr. Vandernacker," I insisted. "We'll get back to you," said Dr. Moe. And they were gone. After midnight, I was no longer allowed food or drink. My surgery was scheduled for Saturday in a couple of hours. So I waited. I shot a couple of videos with my phone. Please take a look at them on YouTube. I had no food or water for 24 hours, and then I got bumped out of surgery. Later, someone told me another emergency patient took my place in surgery. It was a motorcycle victim. He had broken his leg in five places. His bones, unlike mine, were displaced and protruding out of his lacerated skin. "Okay," I said. "He was much more important and it's more urgent than me." I finally had the surgery 2 days after I was admitted. I complained to every doctor, nurse, and staff member who would listen that my bones are brittle and I have advanced osteoporosis in my right leg and the bone might not hold a pin. When I was given the anesthesia, the doctor said to count backwards from 100. Instead, I said, "Don't forget about my brittle bone." "We won't. Please count, Gloria." I said, "I won't count. Don't forget about my brittle leg." Then blackness. I woke up feeling good. Pain level zero. It was the drugs. Dr. Moe, Dr. Larry, and Dr. Curley were standing by my bed. "What happened? Was it brittle?" I asked. "Yes," said Dr. Moe. I smiled. "When we were inserting the first pin into the femur, the bone began to crumble. But we were all alerted that that would happen, and we stopped, and we secured the bone in another area." "I just wanted to let you know personally," said Dr. Moe. "Thank you," I said. "Thank you," Dr. Moe responded. "The surgery went very well. Your bone looks real good." I went back to sleep. I remained in the hospital for 6 days. What a trip. I met some really nice people and had two roommates. One lovely woman, one horribly nasty woman. Since this is about communications, let's review. Okay. At home, after I fell, I didn't call for help or get help. I didn't tell anyone. Mistake.
Damn it, Gloria, communicate. When I told my daughter I had fallen, the first words out of her mouth, let's go to emergency. I said no. Stupid. I'm stupid. When I told my sister, the first words out of her mouth were, please go to the doctor. I said no. What the hell is wrong with me? When I told my niece, Caroline, she told me about her friend who fell on a cruise ship, didn't get an x-ray, then died the next day of internal bleeding and a blood clot. I promised her I would go to the doctor the next day. I messed up. I didn't communicate. I need to listen and communicate and go to the doctor every time I fall, no exceptions. At the doctor's office and in the hospital, I spoke up about my fragile bone, and I was extremely communicative and vocal. I was the squeaky wheel. I alerted the doctors to my bone health, and it helped avoid a disaster in the operating room. Good communication produces good results. As a patient, please over-communicate. It's your body. It's your health. And doctors aren't infallible. Finally, there is this from the National Falls Prevention Resource Center. Falls, with or without injury, also carry a heavy quality of life impact. A growing number of older adults fear falling, and as a result, we limit our activities and social engagements. Now, this can result in further physical decline and social isolation and the feelings of helplessness. Fall prevention strategies are recommended for adults older than 65. The rate of death after falls is rising for people over 75, a new study shows. But falls are avoidable for many seniors. I've compiled a list of fall prevention tips and links to articles on this growing problem. Please share this episode and the information with someone you love, who is a little older, someone you really care about. I'm working to change my life so I don't fall again. But my old friend and former brace man, Paul Grigoroff, once said to me, Gloria, it's not a matter of if you will fall again. It's a matter of when. So finally, really this time, I leave you with this quote. Our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall. That's from Confucius. I'm Gloria Moraga. This is One-on-One, Communications in the Digital Age. Please subscribe and share with someone you love.